Blog Talk Radio.
Jesus, draw me ever nearer as I labor through the storm. You have called me to this passage, and I've
amen, amen, glory to God.
let's enter in the presence of the Lord to him now. As we enter in prayer, Father, we thank you. Right now, in the name of Jesus, oh God, we give you praise, honor, and glory. This is the day that you have made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you for your presence tonight, Lord God, as we dwell, as we stand in this place tonight, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, for the outpour of your presence, oh God. Let your anointing refresh us, oh God. Let your anointing do a work upon us in Jesus' name, Lord God. Lord, you know how you have made us by your design. You know how you desire for us to be, even as we walk out and even come and encounter the blueprint. We thank you right now for the changes, oh God, for the changes, oh God, the adjustments, Lord God, those things in those areas of our lives, oh God, that as we surrender to you, we allow you, to, Lord God, to have free course and do what you desire to do, Lord. We want to be made in your image, your likeness, oh God, in such a way, Lord God, that we shall walk as you have called us to walk in the name of Jesus, oh God. Thank you for your power and authority. You've made us, oh God, to be successful. You've called us to be a son and daughter of God. So we thank you right now as we pursue your presence, oh God. Thank you for this encounter tonight. Now, Lord, thank you for the shifting, even for the releasing, oh God. Thank you for the digging and going forward, the pioneering, the trailblazing. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You're doing a work inside of us, oh God. We yield ourselves to you. Now, Holy Spirit, move by your presence tonight, Lord God. Thank you for the even for the manifestation and the results in this earth realm, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, oh God. We know that these are our reward in heaven, but Lord, we thank you for the reward here on earth now. In the name of Jesus, oh Father, we bless you, Lord God. We give you praise, give you honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Well, welcome tonight. And normally we will be the Eagles of Flight Hour, but we've come to a place of shifting, a place of change, and we're now preparing for a new flow, amen. In the sense of a new release, a new place of dwelling in the spirit realm where we are now. We're pulling on God. We're expecting God to do some greater things, and we allow him just to have free course tonight. And we know that through him, all things, amen, we know that all things work together for our good, and we will allow him to have his way and do what he desired to do, amen. And we will welcome you for coming on tonight. So as we get ready to go forth into his presence tonight, so we are already in his presence, as we get ready to go forth into his word. But before we go into his word, we want to come to a different part of the program, and this part is called Well, first of all, before we go any further, welcome to Every Word. This is no longer the Blog Talk Radio. It's still Blog Talk Radio, but it's no longer Eagles and Flight Hour. There's now Every Word. This is the name of this segment of the show, which we even call it. The name of the show is Every Word. Every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God, and that's what we dwell in, every word that comes out of him, every word that has released the change, bring change and manifestation, every word we live by, we dwell on, we hold tightly in our hearts, every word. So every is about all, it's about his word, it's about him, his presence, his word, it's all about him, not us. So amen. So welcome to Every Word tonight. Amen. So as we begin, and so the next part of our part of our program we come to, this is the part that I'm looking forward to. This is called the prophetic moment. Okay. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. We thank God for his presence. So praise God for you all for being on. Amen. This is called prophetic moment. And I'm going to start with scripture. And however, whichever way the Lord leads, and we're going to go. And let me say this, because of the nature of this call, this show, the flowing of the Spirit, we are subject to the presence of God. So whichever way you want to go, if we do the prophetic moment, and the prophetic moment takes the whole time that we're here on the air, that's how it goes. No apologies needed. And then we get to the word on the next week, whatever case may be. But the Lord, this is a place of not of democracy or dictatorship, but this is a place of theocracy. God rules, God reigns, God lives, God moves. So we want to create an atmosphere that God can freely do what he desires to do. So So as we get ready to get into the word, just want to give those instructions or those notifications, you know. So just know that we're not locked into the program. You know, as far as, you know, how we're going to structure this hour, it is, we're not locked into that. But we are free to the Spirit of God, how much would he want to do it. So if he says stay right there, well, we stay right there. So praise God. If he says shift, move, then we shift and move. You know, whatever it takes, because the fact of the matter is God knows each and every one of you who is calling in. He knows where you are. He knows what you need. He knows what you're going through. So because of that, and my trust is in him. Not so much in you and you know everyone else, but it's the fact that my trust is in him. So I'm trusting him to lead, guide, and order our steps. So I'm trusting him that he knows exactly what you need, and he's the author and finisher of our faith. He is the shepherd. He is the one who leads us and guides us in all truth. So if that be the case, then I'm going to trust him all the way. So whatever he want to do, then that's what he does. You know, and I'm not about, you know, games of horses, but I definitely want God's presence. I want his glory in here. I want him to move through the lines. I don't want to be limited by the lines, but I want to be in his presence so that whichever way we connect on this line, he will bless. There's no reason why he cannot touch you from here, and you could be in Paris. You know, it doesn't matter. The fact of the matter is, if you're on this line, then he's right there with you as well. So, amen. So as we get into this next part, amen, just want to give a little notice on that. Praise God. So, all right, next thing. So we're going to start with this prophetic moment, and we're going to start in the Word of God with Psalms 23. You know, so this is the first night, so we're going to, you know, not going to make it all complicated, but we're going to have a great time. The whole thing is enjoying the presence of God. I want you to enjoy this experience in his presence. We want you to be full in his presence. We want you to get everything, to get whatever you need, the questions that are upon your heart. We want you to get the answers that you need in his presence from God. All right, so Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell, live, stay, abide in the house of the Lord forever. Now we'll look at verse 3. Actually, verse 2 and 3. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Glory to God. This is the season of healing. This is the season of change. This is the season of reconstruction for some of you and a lot of you, and restoration. What the enemy has stolen, the enemy has come in and caused havoc, and he's disturbed. God is now ready to redeem. God is ready. He's positioning you for shifting, for a change. Many of you are going through the challenges, but the thing is, don't focus so much on the challenges. Focus on your God. I understand this, that God does not just allow anything to happen for no reason. There's a reason why God allowed you to experience those things that you're going through right now. He's allowed you to be in this moment in time, thus said the Lord. So he's also shifting, moving. He's positioning. Sometimes he allows those storms to come in our life to position us for the next release. So sometimes, even though it may seem like this thing is coming against us and it's trying to overtake you, it's not trying to overtake you. It's actually about to position you for your next change. He's about to position you for your next launch. He's about to position you for your next breakthrough. He's about to position you for your next change of heart, change of flow, whatever it is that he desires to do. He is all about positioning you for the next release. So don't be moved by the clouds. Don't be moved by the thunder. Don't be moved by the lightning. Don't be moved by the heavy weight of the rain. coming at you or coming upon you. Just know this, that God has not forgotten you. God knows exactly where you are, and he knows where he wants you to be. He knows what he wants to release to you, and he knows what he wants to take away. Whatever it is that he needs to get away from you, whatever he needs to block off from you, or matter of fact, hold back from you. Amen. Sometimes we look at the storm and don't realize on the other side of the storm is something greater that the enemy has desired for, and God allowed the storm to come. Amen. Reminding you of Moses when he was by the Red Sea and the children of Israel. Even though they looked on one side, they saw the Red Sea, but on the other side behind them was a wall of fire. And some people would be afraid and begin to be terrorized by the wall of fire, but on the other side of that was some Egyptians coming for them. So, see, you don't understand on the other side of your fire, there's a resistance or persecution or an attack that's trying to get to you, and God is allowing that wall of fire to block you off, to center you off until he's ready to release you through your dry places. Even though, you know, we see the Red Sea on the other side of it. So in that time, remember, time did not create God, but God created time. So when God created this, when he created time, he created time for us. So in the midst of the time that he's allowing the wall of fire to block off the enemy, hold him back, in matter of fact, and block him, keep him away from you, he's also working on the other side, opening up your Red Sea. He's also opening up the hearts of those who he's going to use to be a blessing in your life. There's a reason for a divine connection. There's a reason and season that you're going through right now. Amen. He's positioning you once again, positioning you to be blessed. It may not look like it from the outside. You may look at your Red Sea like, there's no way I'm going to make it through this thing. I'm about to be consumed by a big body of water. I'm about to be consumed because Pharaoh's on the other side over here about to get me. But God has not forgotten you. God knows exactly where you are. He knows what he's about to do. He's got this. Did not surprise God. Just know that. But now he's positioning you for your breakthrough, for your miracle, for your setup, and your comeback, whatever it is he needs to do in your life. Keep your trust. I'll go back to Psalm 112, verse 7. Trust in him. Amen, amen. Glory to God. As I trust in the Lord with all my heart. See, I'm not going to allow the enemy to discourage me or pull me away from what God wants to do. We got to understand that God is not surprised by our trials. He's not surprised by our tests. Amen. But what he is surprised in is our faith. See, if we say we love him the way we do, then why do we give up sometimes as fast as we do? We don't need to give up on God. Don't give up on God. Just because you can't see your way through, that does not mean that God has forgotten about you. Psalm 112, verse 7 says, he shall not be afraid of evil tidings. You should not be afraid of bad news. You should not be afraid of things that you don't want to face or deal with. You should not be afraid of your Red Sea that's before you. You should not be afraid of the wall of fire behind you. You should not be afraid of evil things, evil tidings. But his heart is fixed. Fix your heart tonight. This is your moment to fix your heart. Position your heart in the place to be blessed. Position your heart so you can hear from God. Position your heart so you can believe God. Position your heart so you can stand with God. Trusting his heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. Who are you trusting tonight? What are you trusting? Are you trusting the doctor or are you trusting God? Are you trusting your own strength, or are you trusting God? See, your strength can't deliver you from the Red Sea. The doctor can't deliver you from the Red Sea, but it's only by his spirit, by the spirit of God, that you're going to come through this thing. And you got to be in one accord with the spirit of God. You got to be moving with God and not against God, not ahead of God or behind God. Be with God tonight. So glory to God. So thus said the Lord. Fix your heart with all diligence. A matter of fact, protect and guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life. This is not the time to give up. This is not the time to be moved by what you see, but this is the season and time to be moved by what you believe. Believe in the word of God. Put your trust, every word, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth, that comes forth, that moves out of the mouth of God, every word that comes forth out of his mouth, every word that comes out of his spirit, every word, there's no word from God that's falling to the ground. The word of God is sharp, powerful, than any two-edged sword, is even to divide spirit and soul, so is in us under. So if we trust in him like we say we do, and we've been telling people we trust in the Lord, we trust in the Lord, and I'm a soldier of the Lord. If you are who you say you are, then you do what you got to do. Do not be moved by what you see. Only be moved by what you believe. So no matter if you have to put on blindfolds in this season, and just to make sure that you don't be moved by your sight. Remember, we walk by faith and not by sight. This is not the season to walk by sight and not by faith. Stay true to your God, as God is staying true to you. He has not forgotten you. He knows where you are, and he knows what he's about to do in your life. He says, we're not of them who draw back. Remember, for those who draw back, God has no pleasure in him. Hebrews 10:35-39 talks about that. Do not cast away your confidence, which has great recompense of reward, for you have need of patience. I encourage you today, hold on to your patience. Don't allow the enemy to frustrate you in your time of waiting. Hold on. Speak his word. Every word, remember it. Every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. So as he has spoken it, you rehearse it, you say it, you believe it, and watch and see how fast you receive it. Do not be moved by what the enemy wants you to see. But this is your time. Don't be moved by the Red Sea. Don't get caught up by Pharaoh behind you. Remember, even though Pharaoh's behind you, there's a wall of fire in between you and Pharaoh. God got you. God didn't leave you alone. Just because you can't see God, that doesn't mean God is not there. And that doesn't mean that God doesn't have things in motion for you. Just because we can't see what we want to see, that doesn't mean that God is not on our case. So be encouraged. Now, I know this may not come in the form you may be looking for it to come. But some of you right now, you are identifying with this word, or this word is identifying with you, whichever way you want to say it, because you know what God is speaking to you right now. I'm confident, and I trust wholeheartedly that you know exactly what God is saying to you at this moment in time. Some of you right now are in the midst of the thicket, of the fire, and even in the weeds right now, and you just need one word, can change your life. One word can save you. One word can move mountains. Amen. Glory to God. One word from God can move mountains. One word from God can give you new life. One word from God can bring you out of the woods and onto the mountaintop. One word from God. So receive tonight and walk in what God has called you in to. Glory to God. We thank God for this prophetic moment tonight. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. So we thank God. Hallelujah. Let's worship the Lord. Let's take a hallelujah. Glory to your name, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to your name, Lord God. We rest in your presence tonight, Lord God. Rest in your presence, Lord God. Resting in your presence tonight, Lord God. Hallelujah. Glory to your name, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Robo sinidiande. Glory to your name, Lord God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The Lord is saying that he's waiting for some of you. Matter of fact, he's expecting a new dedication of your time. He wants a refreshing of you being in his presence. As a matter of fact, a refreshing, but a new beginning, a new start. Some of you have allowed life situations to pull you so far away from him that you can't find yourself in him the way you once used to. God is calling you back to a closer walk. He's calling you to a greater place in him, not just to get back to where you used to be, but to take you even further. Glory to God. He's calling you and drawing you closer than ever before. He's desiring you to come to him, come hungry, come as a child. Humble yourself. Glory to God, and understand and know that his heart is reaching out to you. This is a time and a chance for a new season and a new beginning, not to stay in the old place. It's time for a new change. The place that you dwell is too small, my God. The place that you're dwelling right now is too small in him. See, some of us, we're so used to spending 15 or 20 minutes with God. God said, the place that you're dwelling in that time with him is too small, my God. He's ready to expand you. He's ready to take you to greater heights and deeper depths. He's ready to explore. He's ready for you to explore him in a greater grace and even operation than you once did before. He's ready to reveal himself to you. He's ready to show you himself strong. He's ready to move on your behalf. But he wants you to get to know him better. See, we can't just know of God, but then we expect the works of God to be so, you know, just limitless. No. We have to understand it all comes from relationship. Relationship gives you access to God's presence. Relationship gives you access to the miracle workings and power of God. See, Moses never experienced God until he came to a relationship with God. Then he began to experience God and began to know God, began to be used by God because of that relationship or that covenant change, that covenant walk with God. So glory to God. Even though some of you may have experienced God at one point in time or didn't get saved, the fact remains God wants you closer to him than you've ever been before. God wants you to hear from him like you never heard before. Matter of fact, the scripture says, in him we live, we move, and we have our being. So he's calling you closer. He's drawing you closer. He's ready to move some things out of your life, but he wants you. It's all about you. He wants you to get closer to him. See, he said, draw nigh unto me as I draw nigh unto you. Oh, God, my God. But it's this time now. It's time for the change. It's time to let go. Forgive yourself. Forgive others. Matter of fact, those who have wronged you, and some have wronged you with a heart to get at you. They wholeheartedly just wanted to do you wrong. But you know what? Forgive them. Let God handle the situation. Matter of fact, glory to God. Let God handle the scandal. Fed in my spirit. Let God handle the scandal. 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 He's already working out for your good. He's with you. You don't have listen. God is not against you. He's with you. Trust in him with all your heart, and lean not to your own understanding, but in all his ways, in all your ways, trust him, and he shall direct your path. You got to trust him. He's right there with you right now. My God, glory to God. Amen. Amen. Come on, amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Yes, who we have tonight. Amen. Welcome to the call. Amen. We have a guest speaker. Amen. Guest, come on. You can speak. Amen. We can't hear you if you're trying to speak. Make sure it's not on mute. All right. Well, praise God. If you're having trouble, call back in again and just try it again. Amen. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't you dare give up. Hallelujah. Don't you give up. The enemy don't want you to speak. That's what's going on. When we bind that mute spirit, it would not be a part of you tonight. Matthew, bind the spirit of voice. that were trying to get into control, that into electronics, and those demonic forces in spirits that try to hinder God's word from going forth through the airways, and we bind that in the name of Jesus. We render the enemy powerless in Jesus' name. It will not be so tonight, and it is so. Glory to God. So, amen. So, try to speak and try to come on. Whoever it is, call back in. Do what you got to do. But don't let the enemy steal from you any longer. Glory to God. But while we're moving forward, amen, we thank God for the shift. We thank God for the prophetic word, the prophetic moment, amen. And now we're going to get into the word for tonight. Some of you who are my Facebook friends, you may have seen me give a post a couple of days ago about God chasers, amen. And I think, and I'm not, and in here, my heart understand, I'm not coming against the whole idea. I'm not coming against the author. I'm not coming against, you know, what they're doing, what they've done. But this is what I am saying. I'm not a God chaser. I'm not a God chaser. Technically, we're not God chasers. Trying to say, but let's make it plain and simple. Sometimes when we pick on things, or when we take these cliches and different things, it sounds good, sounds catchy, but when it comes to the Word of God, does it line up with the Word? Is it in line with the Word of Scriptures? Does it make sense to the spirit man? Does it speak the truth of where we are? So that's all I'm going to say about that, because I'm not going to say I'm not attacking anything, but I just want to give clarity, or not only clarity, but I want to go into this and let you see where we're coming from here. So Psalm 91, a very familiar scripture, but amen, it's just suitable. It's very suitable for this occasion. And Psalm 91 says, "He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence." Amen. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shall thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid of the arrow that flies by day, nor for the arrow that flies by night, nor for the pestilence that walk in darkness, nor for the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, and it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shall thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Okay, I'm going to stop right there, because I could do the whole thing, but that's not what I'm trying to do tonight. Amen. Okay, so in the Amplified Version, I'm going to read the first three verses. It says, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall remain stable and fixed under the shadow of the Almighty, whose power no foe can stand. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. On Him I lean and rely, and in Him I confidently trust. For then He will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence." Amen. This is you with those three verses right there. I'm going to stop right there. Now, okay, understand, once again, what I'm saying. I am not a God chaser. I'm not a God chaser. And at the end of this, I pray that you see, too, you're not a God chaser. The scripture, the word of God says, "Greater is He that is in me than he that's in the world." Then why am I chasing God? Who am I chasing? Where I'm going at? You ever see a dog chasing his tail? Where you going at? See, we got to understand, why are we chasing the one who's with us, who's in us? And this is why we have to understand our relationship with God. We can't treat God like He's a million miles away, but expect God to move on our behalf like He's right there. God said, why are you looking into the heavens, shouting out like you, like, I can't hear you. I'm right there with you. Okay? Verse 1 says, he who dwells. That word dwells means to stay, abide, stay in the secret place. Once again, who's running? Who's chasing? Matter of fact, pull that thought. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verse 5 says, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites, okay? Who the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in synagogues and in the corners of the street, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when you pray, come on now, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites, I'm sorry, when you pray, enter into the closet. Once again, who are we chasing? Where are we chasing? Now, the thing is, we enter into the closet. What are we doing when we enter into the closet? We're not chasing God. Understand this. We're not chasing him. This is a call to a greater level of relationship here. See, we have to go beyond the shallow places of the war. It's not going beyond to a deeper place. If we don't change our mindset about God, how can we experience greater from him? If we start treating God like he's miles away, we can't experience the greater of God. Once again, it's not an attack on what's been written as far as, you know, of the book, you know, that's praise God for him. And I know there's a lot of good things within that book that tells you a lot. And I know, I know it's not foolishness, but I understand what he's trying to say. But I want you to go deeper now. See, that was kind of get us going. Okay, everything serves purpose. I do understand that. That was probably for help for people, some people who needed to know how to pursue God. Okay, great. There's nothing wrong with pursuing God. How do we pursue God? We get in his word. We have a hunger to follow him, to do as he said. You know, that's part of pursuing God. But then we get to a place of not only pursuing, but dwelling. Okay, I'm going to get there. I don't want to move too fast, you know, but we were going somewhere with this. So verse 6 says, when thou hast praised, enter thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, when you have cut off things off, you've prepared a quiet place before the Lord. See, in that place is not a whole bunch going on. You shutting everything off, shutting yourself in, and here is you preparing yourself to experience God. See, once again, who are we chasing? So now we're in the presence of God. He said, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide. See, I don't know about you. I'm tired of the surface thing. It's time for us to go deeper in our walk with God. We hear about great men and women of God being used of God in a mighty and awesome way. That didn't happen by accident. That didn't happen by necessarily being a God chaser. But they were God dwellers. They were dwellers. They were abiding dwellers in the place of the Most High. In other words, these people had their hearts and their mind set to stay in God's presence, to not only there, but stay with God, to abide there, to live there. God don't want us to experience him today and then experience him 20 days later. That, you know, I mean, think about this. For the person you love, you don't want to experience their love today and then you don't experience their love again until 2 months down the road. that's not going to do you. That's not what you want. You want to be in a place where you can always be with that person, always be in a place to, you know, experience their love and just be with them. You want to dwell there. You want to stay there. You, women, ladies, y'all, I definitely understand. You don't want someone just to love you today and then for 2-3 weeks later just don't say nothing to you. I mean, that you'll be feeling some kind of way. Oh, you love me today, but then the next few weeks you don't have nothing to say to me? Y'all already know what I'm talking about. So what I'm saying, you know, some guys, you met a woman, and she blew your mind. You took her out on a date. You had a great time. So you mean to tell me I can't call you? Don't call me no more? I can't call you? I mean, you know, your expectation changes. See, the more time we spend with God, the greater and more our expectation of being with him increases. Because each time yields its own experience. So just because I'm spending time with God right now, it should not be the same tomorrow. Every time I spend in God's presence, it should always yield something different. Every time I spend time in his presence, it should not be the same. So as God is causing us to go deeper into him, deeper into his word, the revelation, you know, that's why we have to have a hunger. Those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, what God say he would do, you shall be fulfilled. You be filled. So in other words, if you hungry for God, now listen, if you hungry for God, God ain't trying to play no cat and mouse game with you, have you chasing the cheese all across. No. He said if you hunger and thirst after righteousness, he's going to fill you. He's going to fill you up. Sit down in his presence. Let God fill you. Let God feed you. Let him quench your thirst. He want to give you exactly what you need in his presence. See, that's the whole thing. God wants you closer. He said, once again, he said, draw nigh to me as I draw nigh to you. So we're not chasing God. And God is almost chasing us in a sense. He said, God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship his spirit and truth. God seeketh those such to worship him. So if God is looking for you, how are we chasing God? If he's looking for worshipers, how are we chasing God? We can't be chasing God if he's looking for us. Obviously, he's looking for us to really begin to experience him, to open up our hearts, to have a hunger to be in him like never before. So he goes on to say, shut the door and to pray to the Father, which is in secret. So as we begin to build that relationship with God in secret or one-on-one, what does he do? And the Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward you openly. So this is where we see Moses. Because of the time spent with God one-on-one, because of the time spent with God away from everyone else, secluded to where he has time to dedicate to God and give God his presence as God gives him his presence. Amen. And so because of what Moses did in private, my God, walk with me. See this. As he began, because of what he did privately, this is why he was able to do openly. Listen, God didn't need Moses to do this. Now, understand this. When he was to the Red Sea, and there Moses was like, okay, what am I going to do now? He said, Moses, what do you have in your hand? He said, I have a rod. He said, stretch your rod. Live with the rod. Stretch your rod over the waters. God technically didn't need Moses to do that because God was going to do it anyway. But out of the covenant relationship that he had with Moses, see, your covenant gives you access to God that just everyone just don't have. I mean, we can be two believers
And because of where my relationship with God is, God will do some things for me that he may not do for you, or vice versa. Depends on where you are in your covenant relationship with God. That's why don't let people dictate your relationship. No, no, no. You, that's a personal thing. That's why we have a personal relationship with God for ourselves. The hungrier you are and thirstier you are for God, the more you will be filled. The more he will feed you. The more he will give you himself. But think about it. If you're not hungry for God, why would he pour himself out to you and you're not hungry for him? If you're not thirsty for him, you don't want more of him, he should. God is not a God of waste. So if you don't want him, he's not going to pour himself out. No. Why? You don't want me. God wants you in this, because think about it. When God made us, he made us free will moral agents. In other words, you have the power of choice. If he wanted a bunch of robots, he would make us a bunch of robots. But he didn't. He wants you to make a conscious decision to want to be in his presence, a conscious decision to dwell in his presence, a conscious decision to surrender your all in his presence. He wants you to make up your own mind to say, you know what, God? I can't live without you. I need you, Father. I can't do nothing without you. I need you right now. See, he wants you to come to that revelation. He wants you to get to that place of desire about him. He don't want to give you that. I mean, Father, he don't want to just make you feel that. No, he don't need that. He's not a dictator. Now, even though he has the power to do it if he wants to. But the fact of the matter is, God, there's no joy in that. The Bible said God inhabited the praises of his people. In other words, he allows himself to be housed in the praises of his people. He comes down, he joins you. He loves it. He just can't get enough of it. That's how we can say with 1,000 tongues, Lord, I can't praise you enough. It's something about that, being in his, that makes everything all right. There's something about allowing him to be all over you that changes everything. That word means, dwell means to live in a particular place. In other words, God is very particular where he stays, where he abides at. See, it is very, God has, you know, as far as when it comes to God dwelling, now, if there's nothing going on exalting him, then God don't want to necessarily be there because he want to be where his presence is welcome. So when I choose to dwell in the secret place, I'm choosing to be in the place where God is. I'm choosing to allow him to rest upon me. I'm choosing to surrender myself, or subject myself to his presence and allow him to bathe me, wash me, cleanse me, just be there. It means to live in a particular place, to remain for a time. See, some people's dwelling time with God may be in and maybe out. Some people to dwell time with God, maybe 20 minutes, maybe 2 hours. Everyone's dwelling time with God is different. But listen to this. Everyone's dwelling time is different with God, and so are our results with God. Our results will reflect, it will reflect or show the time that we spend. For those who spend a lot of time with God, the results of his presence is obvious. Come on. Moses had to spend some time with God in order for God to part a Red Sea for him and with him by his hand, by his command. He said, what do you have in your hand, Moses? He said, a rod. Stretch the rod. And as he began to stretch, the sea began to part to where the children had freedom to now cross over dry land going through the Red Sea. That is the direct result of his relationship with God. See, your relationship with God will yield different benefits for you. It will cause you or cause people to experience God. That's why your spending time with God in secret is so important, because when God needs to demonstrate himself openly, you're in position. See, you're not. If you're not in position, God can't do what he wants to do. See, if you don't spend time with God, it's hard for God to really show up on your behalf the way he wants to, because it's like, you ain't put no time in. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide, shall remain, shall stay in the presence of the Almighty. So when we look at it like that, we understand that his presence, as we stay, dwell in his presence, there also is an abiding. That means there's a connection. See, when we abide, that yields a different result as well. Okay, let me see. Our word abide means, it means to accept or bear someone or something bad or unpleasant, to stay or live somewhere, remain or continue. Now, to dwell there means I can stay. There's someone that stays there. Okay, I mean I spend time there. Okay, so the reality of it is I can spend time in my closet. I have a dwelling time that I may spend various different times in my closet. But the abiding part is a little bit deeper. The abiding is my constant connection with God. He says, abide in me as I abide in you. Let's go to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. Amen. I know I'm a little bit all across the place, but just stick with me. Oh, my God. Stick with me. Glory to God. John chapter 15. Pray that you're receiving from the Lord tonight. Amen. All right, John chapter 15. It says, verse 4. Abide in me. Okay, let me go back one verse. Verse 3. Now you are cleansed through the word which I have spoken unto you. See, God's word cleanses you. God's word purges you. See, we need his word. The more we get in his word, the more his word works on us and works through us. The more we listen to his word, the more we speak his word, the more we allow his word to work on us, have surgery on us. Some of us, those matters of the heart, we need to put the word on it. Let the word deal with our hearts. Help us to get to a greater place of liberty and freedom and do what it has to do. We have to yield ourselves to his word. All right, verse 4. He says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. Now listen, there's a lot in this here. No more can you except you abide in me. Now verse 4 again. Abide in me. That word abide means to stay, remain, live. So dwelling and abiding are two different words. My sitting time in God, in the presence of God, in my actual prayer time, that's where I dwell. That's my dwelling time. But my abiding time is on a different scale. My abiding is my connection, my constant connection with God that should never fail. He says, abide in me. Absolute word. It's not a short-term word. It's long-term. Abide, stay, live, When you talk about living at a place, that's a constant staying. It's not back and forth. You're not staying at night here, staying out there. No, you stand there. You plugged in. You committed there. Abide in me, and I in you. Jesus is telling us, if you abide in me, I'm going to abide in you. I'm going to stay in you. We don't have to separate. I'm going to be right there. Okay. Oh, God. So he said, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. Why? Because without the connection, the branch will die. So if you're not connected, how can you grow and live in God if not being connected? So we're not chasing him. We're connected. We're abiding dwellers in his presence. We are abiding dwellers. We abide. We are constantly connected and dwellers. And we also spend sitting time in the presence of God. We don't chase him. We spend time. Glory to God. Except it abide in the vine, no more can you. No more can you, except you abide in me. So you can't produce. You can't live. You can't really function in God without abiding, a connection. That's why his word calls us to go deeper. His presence, he feeds us there. I mean, is it flowing? Is it constant connection, my God? And so I'm going to stop there. Oh, the time is gone. And the last verse, 14, John chapter 14, verse 16. I'm going to just make it quick as well. Verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. John 14, 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. He said, this is where our obedience comes in with his abiding. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that may abide in you forever. Spirit of truth. Wait a minute. That's not the one I want. I'm sorry. Verse 20, 21. Okay. But even though that still works too, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither know him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you. Okay? That dwelling again. He's, you stay in his presence and shall be in you. There's a connection. There's a divine connection going on. So there's no chasing going on there. You're dwelling. You're staying there. It's a sitting time. It's time that we spend parked in his presence. Amen. Okay, going, moving down to 420, verse 20. At that day, you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Where is the chase? Connection going on. An abiding, a staying, a living, a decision that's made and settled. He that have my commandments and keep them, your obedience. So your obedience keeps you in that place of abiding. When you start living a life of disobedience, this is what disconnects you, because you're not listening as he's trying to lead you how to follow. Oh, God. He is that loveth me. So your love is proven by your obedience. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. See, you're going to be loved not only by Jesus, but as your Father too. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Okay? So same with Moses. Because of the love, because of the constant relationship abiding, he manifests himself to Moses. Through Moses, he showed himself strong. Okay, let's go to verse 23. And Jesus answered and said to him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and he and will come unto him and make our abode. That's a past tense, but yet present tense word. In other words, if we're going to stay with you, abode with him. So your obedience is what keeps you connected, keeps him, keeps you in his presence. So I say this in my closing tonight. Our time is gone. But as we continue to practice God's presence, the more we begin to do and be in God's presence. You know how y'all do, y'all. I'm doing me. Do him. Do his presence. And watch and see how much your life changes. Get this. Not only your life changes, but look at how many lives you begin to affect or infect as you go. Why? Because you are still abiding in him. Your dwelling time, your sitting time is different, but your abiding time should always remain. Constant connection. Wherever you go, he goes along with you. It makes you more conscious of what you're doing as far as what you're saying, how you treat people, God's people, any people, anybody. Because you don't want to offend God's presence in your life. If you keeping God's word keeps you connected, then the words you say got to be right. You just can't just say any old thing that you want to because you feel you can say that. So glory to God. So tonight, so once again, I'm not a God chaser, but I am a abiding dweller of God's presence. I'm an abiding dweller. It's almost like a tongue twister, excuse me. But I am an abiding dweller. I remain there. I stay there. It's a choice. We're working on it. I mean, we may not have it all done with that yet, but the more we practice being in his presence, the more his presence be with us. So glory to God. You never lose. If there's anyone who'd like to call them now who may have questions or comments, prayer requests, amen. I know we didn't get into it a little earlier, but amen. The line's open. Amen. If there's anyone who needs to have a question, comment, the floor is now open. Call, please, just share, whatever. As the words bless you, just don't be afraid. We're all family here, so amen. Glory to God. Amen. Is there anyone? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, we thank you, Lord. We bless you for this word tonight. Oh, it's a rich word. We thank you, Lord God. We thank you right now in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Thank you for the movement of your spirit tonight, Lord God. We pray that you touch your people. And we thank you for them being blessed and then going out and they're coming in, Lord God. They truly did experience your presence tonight. And we thank you, Lord, for this encounter with them. In the name of Jesus, Lord God, show yourself strong. Move according to your spirit, Lord God. Move and touch every heart. Lord, you know where they are. And I thank you, Lord God, for giving answers to questions upon us as well. And so, Lord, thank you for this opportunity, this moment, Lord God, as you continue to do what you desire to do, Lord. We surrender all to you, Lord Jesus. Now help us to abide, remain steady, and help us even to in our dwelling time, that we should increase our dwelling time in your presence, sitting time, as we just sit there and allow you to deal and as we read your word, that you are doing a work inside of us, that our abiding shall be stronger than ever before. And we thank you right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 All right, is there anyone who have a question, comment, sir, who needs anything? Amen. Amen. I see Prophet's lady. Amen. I see you have a request. Amen. Prayer request. Amen. Glory to God. Father, we thank you, Lord God, for Prophet's amen. We thank you, Lord God, for moving her behalf in Jesus' name, touching her, even her household, covering her, Lord God, even her family. And, Lord God, even when the enemy desired to sift this wheat, we thank you for you showing yourself and manifesting yourself strong in her life in Jesus' name. So, Lord God, we thank you, Lord God, for them, moving according, Lord God, to your spirit.
We thank you, Lord God, for moving her household, Lord God. Help her even her servant, and continually speak to her, Lord God. Give her direction. Give her truth like never before, that she will be found in you, that she will speak your word boldly as she ought to speak. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you for divine health and wholeness, Lord God, that she will be healed and by your stripes, Lord God. And we thank you, Lord God, for bringing her through any situation that she faces right now, that you made her an overcomer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Amen. Anyone else at this time? Anyone else? The lines are open. I hear someone in the background. Amen. Is there anyone? All right. Going once. Going twice. All right. Sold. Amen. Well, praise God. We thank God for everyone being on. We pray that you were blessed by this call this week. And true, I know we are, and we thank God for the station, for each, for all that they do, for helping us to be here and allowing us to be here. And we just thank God for his, as he releases a special blessing upon them, that they will be able to do it, all that's upon their heart to do, that God will continue to further, amen, the station forward, amen, and even for the visionaries, amen, Pastor Hill, amen, that he continue to do a great work that he's doing in his life, that he will continue to do greater things. Amen. We praise God for greater, the greater of God take place in this ministry, in Jesus' name. So, God, we bless each and every one. Thank you once again. I'm not a God chaser. I'm not a God chaser. I'm not a God chaser. But I am an abiding dweller of God's presence. I'm an abiding dweller of God's presence. So, thank God for each and every one. May you continue to be blessed. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a good night. Amen.
right one time. I feel right going on. I feel like going on. Is there anybody here who feels like today?
I feel like going on.
Feel like going on.